I hope that you have had some good sleep. I don't know how long, but some good sleep. Sufficient at least that your eyes are quite clear. Are your eyes quite clear at this moment? Or do I look like a blur standing here in the pulpit? And even worse, you might see two of me, and one of me is bad enough to have to see, but to see two of me is probably beyond human endurance. And if you have to see three of me by some astonishing reason, then I think that would be enough to terrify the wits out of most people. I mean, how can you stand three when you can hardly stand one? All right. Let's agree then that you can see me at least fairly clearly, and you can also see the things around. You can even see a little bit of sunshine out there. Now, I'd like you to pay some attention to your senses, your eyes, your ears, your nose, if you like. Indeed, all your five senses. And if you have six senses, then by all means use the sixth one too. And do you feel what's happening right now? Do you sense that we are moving? And we are moving very fast. Do you have the feeling of motion? Can you see it? Now look at, again, you had a good sleep. Your eyes, even if your eyesight may not be 20-20, but at least it's quite sharp. And you notice speed. Do you feel it? What kind of a game is he playing with us? I mean, early in the morning when our brain is still not quite clear, and we didn't drink enough coffee, and we have a hard time thinking, and he comes up with this. No, I'm not playing any psychological game with you. You may be comforted to know that I'm no psychologist. I'm just asking you to exercise your senses. I hope that's not an unfair demand. Or do we usually go around with our eyes closed and with a closed peg on our nose and our ears plugged and whatsoever? Are your senses working? They're working well? All right. Now again, switch on all your senses and like the radio amplifier tuner to maximum pitch, and immediately you feel, do you, that we are moving very fast. Well, let me be quiet for a moment in case my voice is distracting you. Do you see? We are moving very fast. No. I can say, okay, I may not have had enough sleep, but I am not so stupid that I cannot see anything moving at all, apart from your lips. What movement? I don't sense any movement at all. Maybe the curtain. Some wind blowing. No movement. But as for speed, the sensation of speed, I have none. Well, can you hear rushing sound of the speed? No. All right, try your nose. Can you detect speed with your nose? This is ridiculous. Whoever detected speed with the nose? All right, then let's try the sixth sense. You got a sixth sense? Some people say they have wonderful sixth sense. Okay, now you can try your sixth sense. Look out of the window if you like. You know, if I'm distracting you too much, try looking this way. You see everything moving fast? No. Sixth sense? Okay, so give us a break. I mean, we had already 5 minutes of this. I don't feel any speed. But I'm not kidding you, am I? I'm sure all of you have been to primary school. Some of us even got as far as primary six. Some a little bit beyond that. And surely, and I forgot, when did we learn a little bit of elementary physics? Was it in primary school or was it in high school? I also have trouble remembering now. It's so long ago. But anyway, we learned, I'm sure you know, that we are moving at this very moment at a tremendous speed. Do you know how fast, if you can remember your primary school physics? Well, how about the primary, we don't have primary school kids here. Well, how about somebody among the students tell us, what speed are we moving at? Over 1,000 miles an hour. 1,000 miles an hour, we are now, at this very moment, as I stand here, and you are seeing three of me, or two, or whichever, and we are moving at 1,000 miles. Maybe I'm seeing two of you because we're moving so fast. Oh, but you don't sense anything. You say, cannot be. All I can see and all I can sense, all the senses tell me, my excellent senses as they are, tell me that we are on terra firma. They don't give me that Latin, all right? Let's speak English here. I can hardly cope with English and you're talking Latin to me. Okay, on solid ground. We are surely on solid ground. And by solid ground, it means it's not like a ship. Everything is moving and you have a sense of movement. We are standing on solid ground and nothing is moving. But our senses are wrong. Or at least our senses are not telling us that we are in fact moving. Why don't we sense any movement? Why don't our senses keep feeding back information? We are moving at over 1,000 miles an hour right this second. While I am talking, we have already moved hundreds of miles. By the time I finished, we might have moved 1,000 miles. No. Am I kidding? Of course not. You know that the earth is spinning. It's spinning on its axis at over 1,000 miles an hour. I'm telling you something that all of us should know. Yet we don't have the least sensation. Our senses, all our perception, our sixth sense, seventh sense, eighth sense, whatever sense, nothing is telling us at this moment that we are moving. Is that true? I am speaking only the truth of the matter. I am trying to help us to understand by this illustration that our senses simply don't provide us with vital information. It can only tell us what's going on in our immediate neighborhood. A little bit further than that, and you know nothing. Your senses tell you absolutely nothing. Now, when you were driving from Montreal to this camp, or from Toronto to this camp, how fast was your car going? Well, if you were driving with some of our racing specialists, I mean, you might have been tearing down the highway at 80 miles an hour or something. I don't know. But whether you were going down the highway at 80 miles an hour or 60 miles an hour, do you have any sensation of speed? Of course you had. Oh, you heard the wind rushing by, and our car was so hot, we were boiling in there, so we turned up the window, and the sound of the wind at 60 miles an hour is so loud, you have to strain your voice to talk to one another. Your ear was telling you there is movement because of the sound of the wind. You look down there and you see the road with all these white things moving by quickly, 60 miles an hour. Of course, if you don't look at the watch, the clock, you might not know what speed you're moving. Even then, our senses cannot give us an accurate idea at the speed. We have to look at the speedo and then we know. That's why sometimes you might hear a police siren behind you and you say, oh, what did I do wrong? Policeman said, you are 10 miles over the speed limit, bring out your license right here and pay some money to me, or to whoever it is you're going to pay. In the end, it ends up in his pocket, of course, because he gets the salary. But the main thing is, because you were not watching the clock, perhaps, and your foot was a little bit heavy, and so you got a little parking ticket, a speeding ticket. So you have to watch that speedo. Make sure you don't find yourself out of pocket by... How many dollars is a speeding ticket right now? I don't know. But anyway, you'll be out of pocket by quite a lot of money. Because your senses could not tell you. Have you ever driven a car at 100 miles an hour? I think very few people can. In Canada, you can't afford to, because just now we talked about speeding tickets. But I have more than once taken a car to speeds in excess of 100 miles an hour. Legally. And I wonder if you have ever had the sensation of what kind of feeling it is. Of course, it depends on the kind of car you drive. The first one I drove was a sports car, Fiat sports car, which went up to 100 miles an hour. And, wow, I had a tremendous sensation of speed. Maybe because the car was so low and I was so close to the ground, everything was rushing by on all sides, rather like those TV games when you're playing that. And everything is rushing by and you're wondering, how am I going to avoid hitting this thing in front while you're playing this TV game? And it was some sensation like that. On another occasion, I drove another car, came to the same speed, in fact, in excess of 100 miles an hour, over 170 kilometers an hour. I had hardly any sensation of speed. The same speed, and yet my senses were giving me different information. Obviously, because the structure and design of this German Opel was different from that of the Fiat, and somehow it did not give one the sensation that one was going that fast. I had to look at the speedometer again and again, because it doesn't feel like 100 miles an hour. But when I look at it, it is over 100 miles an hour. Our senses are unreliable. We cannot depend on our senses to give us accurate information because so many other factors are involved. What am I getting at by saying all this? I want to drive home to you an exceedingly important point. That the trouble with us when it comes to the spiritual life is that we have grown up with reliance upon our senses as the primary, indeed the only source of information to feed into our brains. We are so totally reliant upon this external information, unreliable as it is, but we have not learned to use any other sources of information. And when we grow up with this mentality, and we try to understand or perceive spiritual things, we are faced with a blank wall. If we want to enter into the spiritual life, we must once and for all understand that if we can hardly understand or perceive correctly what happens in the material world with our spiritual senses, then much less, indeed not at all, can we understand spiritual things with our physical senses. Let me continue to illustrate this point until I can drum it firmly into your mind. Until you fully understand what I'm getting about. But first, you may ask me, what's this got to do with the camp theme? Well, let me tell you what it has to do with the camp theme. And gradually, as I go along, in the next 30 minutes or so, you'll become even more clear what it has to do with the camp theme. When Jesus comes again, and I hope by now know that this passage is, these words of the camp theme are taken from Luke chapter 18, verse 8, and the second half of that verse. When the Son of Man comes again, will he find faith? That is a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question means that the expected answer to that question is no. He will not find faith. And when he looks right now through us in this congregation, will he find faith? The answer, I'm sorry to say, maybe for 90% is no. Not the kind of faith he is looking for. You may say you have faith. We are not the judges of our faith. He will judge whether we have faith or not. And I have an inkling, I don't think I will be far wrong, that if I estimated that 10% of us here have the kind of faith which Jesus looks for, that will be very optimistic. Now, our previous two speakers, our dear brother Wu and our dear brother Calvin, have already taught us a lot from the Word of God about the meaning of faith. And we have all profited from that. My task is now to do the other part. And to ask the question, what is the pathology of unbelief? What is the root of the disease that causes unbelief? Why do people not believe? And I have already, in the last few moments, given you one very important reason. Because you and I, by nature, are what the Bible calls carnal. That is to say, we function according to the flesh, according to the body, according to the outward eye, not according to the spirit, not according to the inner being, what the Bible calls the inner man. How can the physical perceive the spiritual? And we are all in some degrees intellectuals, are we not? All of us have spent a little bit of time in school, as I said, primary school. And some of us even managed to crawl through university some way or another and came out with a piece of paper that told us that we have this or that degree. And we think ourselves to be intellectuals. Oh, yes. That has made us very important. But of course, we will not show that off. We remember that it's important to be humble, especially in church, especially among Christians. But let's not fool ourselves. All our training has taught us what? To use our senses, our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our puny little minds, which we always imagine to be much, much greater than what it really is. And therefore we think that we can process the information that comes through our eyes and our ears. We are so confident of being able to process that information better than any more sophisticated computer, and therefore we are confident that we know the facts. And I showed you just now that you could not even tell, with all your senses put together, five or six of them, whichever, you could not tell that we are right now moving at over 1,000 miles an hour. You couldn't tell. Even worse than that, the human race never knew, with all its intelligence and senses, never knew until a few hundred years ago, as recent as that in human history, that we were in fact spinning on an axis. It had to be discovered by some other process, not through direct sense perception and observation. Not that that observation played no part at all. But when the first people told us that we are moving and spinning on an axis and that we are in somewhere flying in the air, you must say, this is utterly ridiculous. And in fact, as many of you know from the history of science, that these people were persecuted, even by the church, in the stupidity of the church. Because the church was making the same mistake as everybody else. They were going by sense perception. Let's speak about the stupidity of the church. That means me and all of us in the church. We are such utter fools because we keep relying on our sense perception. It's like those dear brothers and sisters who come to me and say, you know, I don't know how to pray. Now remember, our parable, Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the parable of the widow and the unjust judge has to do with prayer. And this is the other thing I'm dealing with here. I trust that sometime or other you have prayed. And what do you do when you pray? You turn up your senses. Lord, I'm listening. Look, I've been talking to you for the last 25 seconds and I haven't heard a word from you yet, and I'm going to try another 25 seconds. And so the ear is listening. Did you hear God say something to you? No. Nothing happens. Okay, I look around again and all I see is the wall in front of me. Somebody said to me, how can I keep on praying? Every time I open my eyes, I see the wall. At least when I close my eyes, I see nothing. Maybe seeing nothing is better than seeing a wall. How can I pray? Why? Because you're looking for your senses. You want to sense something. Okay, you say, don't be silly. I'm much more advanced than these primitive people who think that they can see God with their eyes, hear God with their ears. So now back to the sixth sense. I'm tuning in. Crank up the power more. Wind it forward. Turn on the pressure. Nothing. Okay, I give up. It's no use. This Christian life, what prayer? I mean, are those people who say they commune with God, do they really hear anything? Maybe they wear a special hearing aid. Maybe they bought some special glasses they could put on. It's like a 3D, three-dimensional glasses, and suddenly you see what wasn't there before. Maybe they're just hallucinating, daydreaming. Maybe the art of prayer has to do with learning how to daydream. And if you can learn how to daydream, you can see all kinds of strange and wonderful things, which of course don't really exist. You see how we are bound to our senses. But not only do our senses not tell us even about physical things. Now, most of you have been in an aeroplane, I'm sure. Maybe in an aeroplane many times. Think again of the aeroplane and once more think of your senses in connection with the aeroplane. All right, you go in there and your senses are all turned on. You take a look at the air stewardess, whether she's a nice person or she's going to be a very rude person. Just get in your seat, buckle up, will you? Say, okay, take it easy. I mean, if you had a quarrel with your husband, you don't have to take it out on me. But this nice air stewardess, he smiles, like especially Singapore Airlines, so nice service there. Huh? Please be seated. Can I offer you anything? You like the newspaper? What about some sweets? Chewing gum? And I say, okay, I have all I need. But now you feel better. The next few hours is not going to be so bad. Why? Your senses are now feeling the whole environment. Feeling. Just like a baby, when it's born into the world, it is trying to sense something. Where am I? What's the strange place that my mother got me into? This thing is called the world? Why is it so cold here? Why is the light so bright shining in my eyes? Can you remember when you were a baby? Oh, too long ago. Never mind. Let's get back to the aeroplane. So we are now in the aeroplane. And you're looking at the watch. It's supposed to take off at 10 o'clock. Why isn't the plane still getting started? What's happening with it? All right. You see, your feelings are now taking over. It's working. Huh? And then finally, we hear an announcement. Well, the plane is somewhat delayed because the air traffic control tells us we need to wait another 5 minutes. I hope you have a pleasant time, and that cheerful voice comes along, which doesn't do much to save your time, but at least it makes you feel a little better. Okay, finally, you hear one engine revving up. Huh? Your ear's listening. Ooh, the engine is revving up. And that other one is revving up, and you see the wings flapping a bit, and you say, I hope this thing gets off in the air. You're getting a little bit nervous, and then you start praying. All right, you pray a bit. Lord, at peace. Please, I have to see my mother. My mother is going to be very sad if she doesn't see me. She's at the airport, you know, and she's had a hard time. At least don't give her this extra burden. Okay, great, I finished. Okay, now let's get on with the chewing gum. So the pressure with the ears. I have to relieve the pressure from the ears. Sounds funny, but isn't that what we do? Come on, let's be honest. Our lives would be so comical if people could really see what we are doing from day to day. This ridiculous business of Christianity that we live, I mean, it's even laughable to us. What does it look like in God's sight? Will he find faith? Oh, yes, he finds people praying before the plane takes off. Of course, you don't want the next person to see that you're praying. Huh? You're still looking, you've got your magazine in front of you. You're not saying I'm praying. I'm not such a religious person, but it's important that God sees my heart. I don't have to show my spirituality or the lack of it to the people around me. So we get back reading the flight magazine. And finally, what happens? The plane is actually moving, very slow, taxiing along slowly, moves along. And then finally, it turns the corner, and the runway is all the way down, and suddenly a burst of speed from the engines, the noise becomes up, and you are pushed back into your seat, and the plane begins going down the runway, and you see everything faster and faster going by, right? We all have been in aeroplanes. Why are you telling me this? This is not Sunday school. No, but I want you to remember what your senses and what my senses are doing to me. By the time the plane is moving at 100 miles an hour, as fast as the car I was driving, things are going by quite fast. And then it's moving up to 150 miles, 200 miles, and suddenly the nose starts lifting, and you're getting further back in the chair, your feet are going up, and suddenly, it's off the ground. You take a sigh of relief. Thank you, Lord. Occasionally, you do hear my prayers. Now the big problem is at the other end, but I'll pray when I get nearer the other end. And so what happens? The plane is up into the air, and actually, suddenly you lost the sense of speed. By the time the plane reaches 35,000 feet cruising height, what happened? Your senses are giving you no more information of speed. Do you remember? No more. Soon you can unbuckle your seatbelt, and the next guy pulls out his horrible smelling cigarette that's going to choke you for the next few hours. And you remember that somehow you got into the wrong compartment, or this guy forgot that this is the non-smoking section. We always run into this kind of thing in flights, don't we? And then what happens? Suddenly, you are high up in the air, no sensation of speed anymore. Funny. At 100 miles an hour on the ground, you had enormous sensation of speed. Everything was shaking and vibrating. Noise was going. You could see everything rushing. Now, actually, your speed has tripled. Maybe has gone up quadrupled. It's now at cruising speed of 650 miles an hour. You don't have the least sensation of speed. You can walk around and you're not falling back down the aisle. You can pick up your cup of coffee